StoreYourHealthNow.com.
Welcome to this version of America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. I know you're getting ready for Thanksgiving. Maybe you got sent to the store with a grocery list. Ugh. Did you have to find that marjoram somewhere in the middle of all of those spices? Or did you have to find the turkey? How big is the turkey at your house? However big the turkey is, that determines the crowd or the other way around. Or you hope you have a big enough turkey. And that you cook it correctly. It's always the thing about how to cook the turkey. Do you fry it? Do you throw it on the grill? Do you do it the old-fashioned way in the oven? Coming up on our next couple of shows here on America Tonight, because, yes, we are going all the way through the week until Thanksgiving Day. We won't be doing a live show on Thanksgiving Day, but we're going to have on Wednesday, biggest turkeys across the board in sports, politics, etc., whoever you think is the biggest couple of turkeys for the past year. Plus, we have our Nail the Score game of the week. Who knows what it'll be? And we'll talk to the Buddha, who gives the inside track on what the weekend looks like, and Thursday, of course, for the NFL. You believe it? It's almost the time of year where we start really talking about the playoffs. At this point, there's some teams that are definitely already eliminated from the playoffs and some that are headed in the right direction. Is the Occupy movement headed in the right direction or the wrong direction? A lot of people gasped when they saw what happened at the University of California, Davis. The people on that campus, several of them, were protesting. About 25 of them were protesting by sitting down as to the actions of what happened in the University of California at Berkeley, where police use some batons and whatnot. So they were supporting those people, and they were supporting the Occupy movement, and they were pepper sprayed. A cop, two cops, actually, campus cops, went up and down the row and sprayed everybody with pepper spray. By now, everybody certainly knows that story. Both were booted temporarily. Now there are calls to shake up things on the campus at the top levels, and that makes sense because you got to go to the top. Ultimately, someone's responsible. Who do you hold accountable for what happened there? I think they need a big shakeup. I'm certainly not the only one. Listen to what this professor has to say, Linda Hill, about Occupy Davis and what happened.
This is a critical moment where there's enough solidarity among people that we're all going to speak our minds. I feel very sad about it, but I also feel that her ability to lead effectively has been so compromised by this unfortunate series of events that she needs to step down.
Yeah, and I would agree, because you have to think through the ranks, how did they let that happen? How did it get to that position in the first place, because it never should have gone that far. It's shocking to see the video. If you haven't seen the video, here we are doing a radio show. But at some point, Google the University of California, Davis, and you'll see it. And it is still, to me, one of the most stunning things I've ever seen blatantly on video. Tough to deny this peaceful situation and this crazy thing of the pepper spray. I don't see how either one of those cops saves their job, but I think you have to go deeper than that. They didn't go very deep when it came to the super committee, but we already knew this. It's almost old news, even though it happened on Monday, officially. Money was not where they went when it comes to the automatic cuts. That doesn't happen until 2013. There was no bipartisan deal, nothing but bickering and blame game and calling out Democrats, calling out Republicans. It's the same old thing, and we knew it. We knew that the super committee wasn't going to work. It was misnamed from the get-go. How do the automatic cuts work now? This part you might not know, but the $1.2 trillion, the amount of deficit reduction the panel was trying to do, that would automatically be cut in 2013. So not until then. Defense will get slammed. some domestic programs will get slammed, $55 billion a year, and it starts for 9 years. It'll be spread across 9 years, starting in 2013. So what are the implications? The Defense Secretary, Leon Panetta, has gone berserk. He says it would require a 23% reduction of the military's budget for 2013, and that would force employees to be furloughed, and it would threaten our combat troops because they wouldn't really be ready. So he's saying it's a doomsday scenario. So there are people that are part of the House Armed Services Committee who are saying, listen, we are dismantling the greatest armed forces in history, and that can start by waving the white flag, but it didn't matter. And there are other people who say, oh, that's just, they're just being overblown and it's not true and that's not going to happen. At this point, one thing that doesn't matter is there is no more super committee. It's done. The automatic cuts will go into effect unless something different happens. And next year is an election year, so the focus is going to be on positive things that anybody running knows they can throw up as a layup to any of their constituents. In other words, play to the crowd. Nobody wants to play against the crowd. That's the kind of politicians that we have in Washington. They're not going to go against the grain because what do we always say on this show? It's about the next term. It's about the next term. So to get the next term, you have to focus on the things that will get you elected. And that's whatever it is in the particular areas, whether we're talking about Kentucky or Illinois or Texas or California, wherever it might be, Connecticut. It's going to be the individual stuff and the presidential election. Do we reelect Obama for another 4 years, or do one of the Republicans step in to 1600 Pennsylvania in place of Obama? Some of the Democrats are a little bit nervous, and still, who they fear the most is Mitt Romney, which to me is surprising. Mitt Romney seems like anybody but Mitt to me. In fact, very few of you have called America Tonight to say, wow, I really like Mitt Romney. He's a business guy. He was the one who turned around the Salt Lake City Olympics. Remember when he was governor of Massachusetts? Oh, never mind, because we don't want to talk about health care. Very few people have stood up and raised their hand for Romney, yet he's the guy that is the choice that most of the Republicans are saying he's going to be it. That you might see Newt Gingrich come up, you might see Ron Paul come up a little bit, but in the end, it's going to be Romney. And he is pretty smooth when it comes to deflecting some of the criticisms, and he knows how to keep his cool when they try to drill him on certain things. But is that what we want in a president? I mean, what, you know, it ultimately comes down to what we've talked about before. What is it that you want in a president? What is it that you want to see in ultimately the leader of the free world? What are the qualities that you're looking for? And why is Romney the guy who seems to have the most appeal? I think that's pretty odd. We're talking about Iran coming up next here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment permanent basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America. And he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier. And I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, Jason Lewis here. Anybody who's been listening to my program knows how shaky the U.S. economy is right now. Will we have a V-shaped recovery, or will it be a W-shaped one where the nation slips back into recession? Of course, if you think that Washington can spend or inflate its way out of a downturn, you've got nothing to worry about. But as you know, I have my doubts. So let me tell you about gold. Now, as my friend Ted Anderson from Midas Resources likes to say, gold, like all commodity markets, fluctuates in price and you could lose money, but it has never been worth zero. Give it some thought, and if you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to actually have it in your possession, call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237. The U.S. dollar was once backed by gold, but has since lost 90% of its value. And if things don't change, I'm afraid the trend will continue. Call Midas Resources today at 1-800-686-2237 for gold and tell them Jason Lewis sent you.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GZN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
And more sanctions in just a second here on ATM. Before we do that, quickly let's run to Daniel in Minnesota. Daniel, thanks so much for hanging through. How are you, buddy?
I'm good. How are you tonight?
Good. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you. It's the place I'm working at is that been on their mind all day. And it seems to be a little more on their mind because with everything that's going on, I think people get a sense of family, and it secures them a little bit when everything else seems to be in chaos.
Boy, that's true. I'm feeling that. I feel that people around me are the same way, Daniel. That's interesting, yeah.
And I just had a couple of comments, if I could. The radio that they're not going to be able to do anything next year as far as getting anything through the House and Senate because they're campaigning.
Yes.
And they'll be on the road. I find it ironic that they're campaigning to have us put them in the job that they're not doing currently. It's like asking for money from a guy you already owe $100 to.
I love that analogy. So true. Why should we elect the same? It's like Harry Reid when the Tea Party person ran against him. Remember, Sharon Engel, and he was worried because she was getting a little bit close to him. And I remember him saying, I haven't had enough time to do the things I need to do. I thought, are you kidding? How many years has he been in the Senate? So you're right. And so he hasn't had enough time. These people haven't had enough time, and they're not doing anything. You're right. Good analogy.
Yeah, and like you said, that super committee, it's like getting a tattoo of your girlfriend's name. Once you put it out there, it's not going to work. and you're going to be stuck with the results. And that's what we are. We're stuck with the results of the super committee. And I'm confused on what higher office even means.
Yeah, I like it, higher office. You're right. And it was doomed to fail. We knew it. So it's inevitable that, you know, this is this little old show, America Tonight. How easy is it for us to say we knew it was going to happen? Why did the idiots in Washington, why did they even go through that process? It was just a charade is what it was.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. They were, I think it's probably just a stall tactic so they can get a lot of the other issues forced onto or over to the next administration or the next term for whoever.
Right. Yeah.
They're just burying their head in the sand.
Yep, and absolutely.
I think we all the guys that have been doing their jobs outstanding without complaining and losing troops and men and now money because they're going to cut it. I think we could take an example from them because they went, they volunteered, they walked in when everybody else was walking out. And I think we should maybe take a good hard look at that because it's very virtuous.
Yep, I agree. Daniel, thanks. He's right. Thanks. Appreciate it. You know, he's right. You look at the troops and you look at what they do and you look at the sacrifice that they've made. And here we are talking about this automatic trigger that would fall down. And, again, Daniel, thanks for the call. You look at the automatic trigger and here's who's going to be affected by it, but the troops, because they're not going to have the kind of equipment they need and whatnot. So how ridiculous is that? Absolutely. All right. We want to make sure we squeeze in Roger Madden, and then I'm going to talk about Iran here. So he's waiting in the wings, putting down his latte. Here's Roger Madden. I think we have Roger Madden. I think we're going to Roger. If we do, let's take off with Roger.
And God said to Abraham, I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. This is Roger Madden, and this is what I think. In the middle of the 20th century, the European peoples literally wiped the Jews from the continent, 6 million of them, within a period of 5 years. Europe today is cursed, what with most of its nations imploding economically, socially, and politically, while the current Muslim minority living in Europe quietly awaits the certainty that it will demographically outnumber the current secular population within the next 40 years. As recently stated by Harvard professor Ruth Wiss, quote, Jews are the ostensible but not ultimate casualties of the organization of politics against them, unquote. Since it is becoming more than clear should Israel, America's ally, be destroyed, America will be, if it is not already, the next target of the enemy of the Jews. The American people instinctively know this and willingly incline to the needs of Israel, a Jewish state, and our natural ally. However, Obama's predisposition position is to drift from the existential concerns of a free and democratic nation and place greater favor upon those who desire its downfall. Of course, relying on divine proclamations made nearly 3,000 years ago is hardly a substitute of a great nation's foreign policy, but it assists our understanding of America's historical presence in the world and its role in its undiminished loyalty to those nations which cling to freedom and justice. It was Reinhold Niebuhr who said that there are historic situations in which refusal to defend the inherent of a civilization, however imperfect, against tyranny and aggression, may result in consequences even worse than war. This is Roger Madden, and that's what I think.
All right, thanks, Roger. I mentioned that Iran, now we're talking about sanctions. I want to make sure that I squeeze this in. To me, there's no bigger waste of time. You have to go after the central bank if you really wanted to have some teeth in what's happening with that country. And at this point now, we continue to pussyfoot around it. Also, one of the things that you could do, as has been suggested by some of our guests, is go after the oil, go after the refineries. Israel probably will target that if they end up dropping some missiles, if they end up dropping some missiles. But at this point right now, we're talking more sanctions. Will these sanctions make any bit of difference whatsoever? And I hate to be cynical and overly critical, but the truth is, no, I can't see that it's going to make any difference, because we go through the years and look at the past, and now we're on 20. And what is so different this time around, there's still enough room and flexibility to maneuver around it for that country, for Mahmoud Ahmadinejad. And with that being the case, I don't see how this sways Iran into not developing a nuclear weapon. At some point, whether you want to believe it or not, at some point you have to just call it what it is, and the administration what it is, and the supreme leader, who is just as much in the thick of this as Ahmadinejad is, and, you know, again, do something. Satellite surveillance is clearly showing that there's increased activity at the supposed Iran nuke site. And they're working on nuclear weapons, not on power. We're not buying that they're working on power. So until they go after the central bank, until they do something that's going to really, really cripple Iran, it's not going to make any difference. It just makes some headlines. Oh, here we are, another sanction. We're leveling some more sanctions at Iran, but it's going to miss the intended target by a long shot. So just like the super committee, it's more delay. That's what it is. More delay than anything else. Some of you are going to be traveling in the next day or two, and Godspeed to all of you. Honestly, I mean that. Whether it's on the highway or you're on a plane somewhere, nothing worse than, especially it seems on the holidays, and partially because you have heavier coats and all that kind of stuff, because the airlines are gouging everybody with how much you have to pay for these bags, people are trying to cram as much as they can in the overhead compartments. So I hope that you get on the plane first, because if you don't, then you're going to have to do that dance where you're trying to squeeze something in and figure out a place to put your bag. They just did a U.S. Travel Association survey, and one of the things that most travelers said is they're annoyed by the people around them who try to carry on everything they have. In fact, two-thirds of the people surveyed said that they're peeved. They're sick of people bringing too many carry-on bags through the security checkpoint. And, of course, they're doing that because they don't want to pay the fee. The carry-on luggage fee is not cheap. And if you have a big family, oh, it's even worse. I've seen families. I saw a family last time I traveled. It was a really cute family, man, woman, and four kids, four of them. Every single one of them, the poor little girl, she was like three. She looked like she was hauling the biggest piece of luggage. I thought, she's going to fall over right in the middle of this terminal. Because, of course, they didn't want to have to pay for all of those bags, right? We're thankful for some of the guests we've had in the past. We're introducing you to one next.
Fight back this cold and flu season with the world's best garlic extract, Alley C. Why Alley C? Because it helps your body fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi. Alley C has been scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Alley C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Alley C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Alley C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Alley C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Alley C. For more information and to order Alley C, call 877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com. That's 1-877-888-7126 or go to garlichealthproducts.com for your Alley C today.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits. Magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches. First aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com. The Maine name in military supply.
Solar power.
Solar power.
Hand crank power.
Hand crank power.
Radio power.
Radio power.
The goods you want, the good deals you need to power up your survival are at 21stCenturyGoods.com. In our solar department, you'll find solar generator kits, solar lanterns, flashlights, radios, and solar cell phone and laptop chargers. 21stCenturyGoods.com is your hand crank headquarters for everything from generators to flashlights to emergency, weather, and shortwave radios by Grundig and Kato. Big brand names and big deals. Like this. Get a free solar flashlight with every order over $75. But hurry, offer ends soon. Go to 21stCenturyGoods.com, spelled the number 2, the number 1, ST, CenturyGoods.com. That's 21stCenturyGoods.com, or call 866-999-8422. 21stCenturyGoods.com. Power up your survival.
From the shattered Rust Belt come the Lost Vegas.
Now, also available in digital format at Amazon and iTunes worldwide.
Don't come calling when your walls start falling down. I got a little bit of respect. Don't take it away.
Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas on 180-gram vinyl and mastered especially for vinyl by legendary audio engineer Steve Hall. Life Before the Collapse by the Lost Vegas.
The Lost Vegas.
Now available at Amazon.com.
And iTunes.
America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. I am so thrilled to welcome this man to our show. He is the golden throat. I mean, this man's voice has been on everything. Plus, he was an actor, too. You might remember Don Morrow as the Shell Answer Man. You remember the Shell Answer Man, the free booklets, all that stuff? Okay, but that's nothing. He's done a ton of other things. He even was the guy doing the commercials for the Titanic. Remember James Cameron's huge hit, the Titanic? Remember the booming voices on the commercials? That would be Mr. Morrow as well. Plus, he's done all kinds of narration on A&E, Biography Channel. I watch that one a lot. You know, I'm a huge history fan, the History Channel, PBS. I mean, I could go on and on and on and on. The list is so long, so long. So, and plus, besides that, he also co-authored the Forsaken Heroes of the Pacific War dynamite book about 106-year-old World War II vet who sadly, Doc Brown, although what a long life, died just today. So how apropos that this is when we get to, a chance to speak to Don Morrow. Don, we are again humbled by your presence on America Tonight. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
I'm overwhelmed.
That's sweet of you to say that.
No, it's very sweet of you to say all those things that I've tried to forget about. No, I'm kidding because they were all wonderful jobs. Titanic was a wonderful job, and God knows the Shell Answer Man, which was one of the great jobs of all time. 7 years on that one.
Yeah.
Actually, I worked for Cameron that long on Titanic because there were so many ancillary things that went on with that even after it came out, you know? So that was a hell of a good job, too.
Yeah, no kidding. Tell us, I mentioned Doc Brown. Tell us about Doc Brown and what kind of a man he was. What was he like? Your friendship really spanned for a while with him. And like I said, that book was tremendous. It really laid everything out for anybody who read it. And you can still, of course, get it today. But tell us about what was so special about this guy.
Okay, well, Doc Brown, first of all, up until yesterday morning, was the oldest living survivor of the Bataan Death March. And he was also the oldest living veteran of World War II. But he succumbed yesterday morning at 10:20 a.m. He was 2 months and 10 days shy of 106. He was a fabulous guy. I met him originally at the Hollywood Y out in Los Angeles. And we became friends. There was a funny way we met. They were looking for a couple of old guys to shoot some baskets for the Today Show. They were doing a special on seniors, you know. And so they picked me and they picked Doc. And when they dragged me into the basketball court, he was standing in the middle of the court popping them in from mid-court. I'd never seen anything like that, you know. And this guy, he was 81 at the time. I was only 60 then. And I was just amazed at this guy. Well, as the years went on, I got to know him better. He played a hard game of handball, where most everybody else by then was playing racquetball. He was playing handball, which I used to play, too, at the New York City Y up on 63rd Street. And handball is a much tougher game, really, than racquetball, I should say. And Doc still could, at the age of 95, he still beat everybody around there. I mean, it was amazing. And then at 95, he got pneumonia. And so his daughter took him to her B&B in Pinckneyville, Illinois. That's about 70 miles southeast of St. Louis, and that's where he had been up till this past year when she put him in the nursing home, which he didn't mind at all because there were a lot of ladies in the nursing home, and Brownie always liked the ladies. So he was a pilot before the war. He owned an airline out in Iowa, and then he learned to fly after he bought the airline, little airline, you know, a couple of planes. And he was a dentist. He had been an incredible athlete as a kid. High school and college, he was four-letter band in each. And he was the captain of the Creighton University basketball team as well, which was very famous. And he put a team together afterwards that beat the Harlem Globetrotters, the most famous basketball team of all time. Anyway, he was a fabulous guy, and being ROTC, he got called into the Army in 1937, and he was already 32 years old with a family with three kids, but you know, if you're ROTC, they call you, you go, that's it,
and
he's in. And he was in the Philippines by midsummer of 1941 before the war hit, and they were having a pretty good time over there in the Philippines. A lot of these guys had brought their families over. He was thinking of bringing his family over, even though the specter of the rising sun was coming up very hard and fast at the time. Well, America was, as far as the troops in the Philippines went, were so under-equipped, it was pathetic. And when the Japanese invaded, they just had literally nothing to resist with. Their weaponry was World War One. Their equipment was World War One. Their uniforms, their helmets were all World War One. So they weren't in very good shape to fight. And then, of course, they thought they were going to be the aggressors, and the Japanese just overwhelmed them, and they had to retreat down the Bataan Peninsula. And then they were surrendered in April of 42, and they were all, 90% of them were already dying of starvation then.
Yeah. And did he tell you how rough that was on that Bataan death march, what that must have been like?
Well, he did, yes. In our book, that's been dealt with so much by far better writers than I that we just use his words in the book. And it's not that he underplays, but he didn't overplay it either. But certainly you would get the idea from the book that it was the most horrific thing that ever happened in any of our wars. Probably the most horrific thing that happened in any war of anyone's lifetime, as far as that goes. America had put artesian wells along that route. All the way, every mile, they were not allowed to have one drink from those wells on the entire march. And every now and then some guy would break from the crowd and try to get a drink, and they just got beheaded, or they got stabbed, or they got shot. One of the three. So they lost about 40% of the guys on that march.
Yeah. I've seen other things. I was thinking maybe Sunday morning, the CBS morning show did a thing on Doc, and just incredible. It was incredible that he, as you said, as you were describing when you first met him, how athletic he was and how you'd never know. It was unbelievable with squash, etc. He was like an ageless guy, wasn't he, until the very, very end?
He was. In fact, Kevin, my co-author, and I took him to the, 4 years ago, that would have been in 2007, we took him to the annual get-together of the Battling Bastards of Bataan, Corregidor, and Mindanao. And he was declared there as the oldest survivor of it, you know.
Yeah.
And these guys were fabulous. We talked to so many of these guys. They were mostly in their 90s. There were some in their 80s. And there was nobody there over 100 except Doc. But these guys were the healthiest looking guys you ever saw. Now there's only about 400 of them left now.
But
they had such great senses of humor, and they were so proud of their military past. See, these guys had been told at the end of the war, do not talk about their internment. To never talk about it. They were ordered that. And so for years they kept it contained. But most of them couldn't stand to even sleep in their beds when they got home. They couldn't eat the food. They had been so abused and constricted during those 3.5 years in the camps, that they couldn't normalize again after the war. But the ones that have survived it and that are still coming to those annual conventions are fabulous, fabulous guys. Unbelievable.
Yeah. We're speaking with, of course, legendary Don Morrow. In fact, Don, can you hang on through with us for a little tiny break, and we're going to come right back?
My pleasure.
All right, voiceover king Don Morrow, we're going to be back with more here on ATN.
Introducing a diabetes breakthrough, an easy, natural, organic way to bring relief to diabetics. Introducing MDS Forte, a concentrated super strength extract formulated for those who are looking for relief. What can MDS Forte do for you? MDS Forte reduces glucose levels safely and effectively, reduces cholesterol and triglyceride levels, increases HDL or good cholesterol while reducing LDL or bad cholesterol. MDS Forte reduces A1C, improves eyesight and circulation to the limbs, and helps with weight loss. Is non-toxic, caffeine-free, 100% natural, 100% organic, and comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. Waiting for the side effects disclaimers? With MDS Forte, there are none. Order a 25-day treatment of MDS Forte by calling 213-405-5355, 213-405-5355, or visit bestbloodsupport.com. That's bestbloodsupport.com for MDS Forte, a diabetes breakthrough.
Hi, this is Alex Jones. Did you know that the global elite are now storing non-hybrid seeds in secret storage vaults near the Arctic Circle? Did you know that in a real meltdown, non-hybrid seeds can become more valuable than silver or gold? It's true, seeds have outperformed even gold and silver before in this country, and it's possible that could even happen again. So our friends at Solutions from Science have put together the perfect mix of non-hybrid seeds. They call it a survival seed bank, and it can produce an endless supply of nutrient-dense food for you and your family. And here's the best part. These seeds have not been genetically modified in any way, and you actually get enough seeds to plant a full-acre crisis garden. So visit them today at SurvivalSeedBank.com. That's SurvivalSeedBank.com. Or give them a call at 877-327-0365. That's 877-327-0365. Remember, in a real crisis, non-hybrid seeds are the ultimate barter item. This is Alex Jones for SurvivalSeedBank.com.
Smokers, are you still smoking traditional cigarettes? Are you still smelling up your clothes and car interior, staining your teeth, and getting ashes everywhere? Why, when you could be smoking or vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replacement cartridges, you'll get all the satisfaction of smoking, but no smoking hazards. Choose from a wide variety of our new American-made Vapriate e-liquid flavors at LeSig.com, spelled L-E-C-I-G.com, or call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker. Warning: e-cigs may contain nicotine, an addictive substance known to the state of California to cause birth defects or cancer. Please be aware of the risks associated with e-cigs prior to use. You must be 18 years or older to purchase.
We're back with Don Morrow, and of course, talking and reminiscing about really just a terrific guy in Doc Brown, and what, you know, what he meant and what he was like physically, and the fact that he was the oldest survivor. You think of the Bataan Death March, and Don did such a great job in describing what that was like, and many of us who are too young to remember but had it in history class have seen it come alive through various films that have been made, including the more recent one that Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg did. Did you catch that, Don? Did you see the Hanks
series,
Spielberg?
I did see that. I frankly didn't think that much of it, because it was just a repetition of battle scenes that we've seen over and over again, you know?
Yeah.
If people are really interested in the Bataan Death March, there's a couple of books they should really read besides this one, which only takes about 2 hours to read. Mm-hmm. But Laura Hillenbrand, who wrote Seabiscuit.
Yeah.
She wrote a book called Unbroken. Laura goes into what happens to these people very, very deeply. I mean, it's brutal beyond belief. A lot of people wouldn't be able to read it because of that, because they, you know, talk about something that really is gory. And she wrote about a particular guy also, a real life character named Louis Zamperini. He was an Olympic runner. He ran at the 1936 Olympics in Berlin, in fact. And the Japanese knew that when they captured him, and they brutalized him for that. For that reason, they made him run races after they'd beaten him up. And I mean, her story about this guy is absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah, I've heard that because that's a reason. That's a recent book.
Tears in the Darkness by Michael and Elizabeth Norman. And that's about a guy named Ben Steele, who is a professor out in Montana, an art professor, and he's 96. And he's still going strong. There's something about these guys that survived it. They are stronger than the average person and live longer. It may have been that diet. I don't know. I mean, you know, they were starved to death, these guys.
Sure. As you said, 3.5 years. And that's, you know, her title of her book says it all, Unbroken, just crazy. And that's a fair, as I was saying, that's a fairly new book, too. And that's a good one to recommend. I'm glad that you did that.
Both of those are fabulous books.
Yeah.
I mean, they really go into the death march.
Yeah, you get a better sense. Mm-hmm.
We don't go into the brutalization that deeply. There's a lot of light moments in our book because Doc had a great sense of humor.
Don, we would be remiss not to ask you about your career. As I said, you are a voiceover king, and you still are working. Well, did you think when you first got into the business that it would lead to all the things that it led to for you?
I had no idea where it would lead, but what I did know from the very first day was how much I loved it. And I teach, and I tell my students or potential students, if you don't absolutely love this more than anything, then don't waste your money on it. Don't bother, because there's a lot of, you know, as you well know,
sure,
as anybody in this business knows, there's a lot of resistance to getting that first job. And it's just like there's a lot of resistance to putting out your first book.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you.
Maybe if you're a brain surgeon, maybe there's a lot of resistance to the first brain surgery. I don't want the guy who's never operated on anybody doing me, I'll tell you that.
I would agree with you, absolutely. You know, as your career went on and spanned all kinds of different things, one of the things is you became a Uncle Walter's announcer on the Sunday news special. I met him one time and he was very gracious, and this was many years ago, but you worked with him, so to speak. What was he like?
Walter was just one of the greatest guys you could ever want to meet. And it's interesting that I never knew Walter's politics until 50 years later. And Walter, Britt Hume was remarking about Walter recently on the air and saying that nobody in the industry knew what Walter's politics were, because Walter was from the old school of journalism where you reported the story. You didn't try to slant it. So I spent a lot of time with Walter. We closed up Toots Shores in New York every Sunday night, or really Monday morning. And we talked about everything in the world, I thought, but I guess we never really got into politics. Funny.
Yeah, how interesting. Another interesting person that you worked with, and you must have known a little bit, was Jackie Gleason. I still can look at his old clips and laugh out loud. Was he that funny off the air?
Well, other than seeing Gleason in Toots Shores every Sunday, I did the last show that he, the last series of shows, that he did in New York. And you don't go up and meet Jackie Gleason. You don't get friendly with Jackie Gleason. I would not even assume to, but when he brings you out on the stage, he acts as if you're his best friend, which of course is for an announcer. That's a marvelous thing to get a great intro, you know, as you can imagine. And it, at least to the audience, it looks like you're his best friend for a minute anyway. But I didn't get to know Jackie Gleason per se, other than that initial handshake, and that's it.
Yeah.
That's as close as I got to Jackie.
Yeah. You go from things like that where you're doing the announcing to you also had hosting jobs at a couple of different networks where you were doing game shows. You were hosting game shows.
Yeah, I did some game shows. The first one was called Camouflage, at ABC, and then I did one at for Merv Griffin at NBC called Let's Play Post Office. And then I had something that was actually kind of worthwhile in an ABC show called Science All-Stars, which was not a game show, where we took the science winners, the National Science Fair winners, and we would put them on. If somebody was in rocketry, we would have Wernher von Braun as the adult guest, so to speak. And I would interview these people. And I mean, my ability to read off the teleprompter was pretty good by then. So it looked like I knew what I was talking about, even if I didn't. But I thought that show was you know, really something worthwhile. It was on for a couple of years on ABC.
Yeah. What was your...
And I had one out of Dallas that I really loved doing with Dizzy Dean, a syndicated radio show just like yours.
Yeah.
And that was 1950.
Mm. And Dizzy Dean and you became pretty good friends, I would imagine, because didn't he take you to New York? Didn't he tell you to come to New York?
Yeah, that's how I got to New York. Dizzy got me to quit my job down there in Dallas at WFAA and move to New York. And I'd saved up during the couple of years $500. And in 2 weeks, I blew it in New York.
I bet that was pretty easy.
Dizzy bought a drink, I bought a drink. And we were hanging out with a Yankee ball club up there in the Bronx at the Grand Concourse Hotel. And I got to meet everybody on the Yankee ball club. And it was a great thrill, I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
I was with them for, 2 or 3 months before the job that Dizzy thought he had for me fell through. But then he got me another one with McClendon Station down there, KLIF in
sure.
Oak Cliff.
Sure.
I don't know if that's who owns it now, but anyway, Gordon McClendon was called the Old Scotchman, and he had a network of stations across the country. So Dizzy got me a job with Gordon, and I was there for another year before I started to work with the networks and so forth.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of time left, but I got to ask you this question. Who was, of all the famous people that you've worked with, that you've met, who was your favorite? Who's your favorite, Don?
Who's my favorite? Well, I guess my favorite hang-around pal was a guy I met there in Dallas in 1949 on WFAA when Margot Jones Theater was Theater 49, is what it would have been called then. His name was Jack Warden, and he had not yet done his first movie. And, but then he came to New York after, and he was on Broadway, and then he got into films and did films and series and so forth. And I was with Jack right up until his death about 4 or 5 years ago. We spent a lot of time with each other on both coasts.
Yeah, and he, of course, famous, I'm trying to think, people would know what, Dragnet?
No, he was with NYPD. The original one in New York.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
But he did a lot of... Then he was Jigsaw John, and he had a bunch of series, you know.
Yeah.
Played a lot of cops and detectives and so forth through the years.
Yeah, I remember that. What a pleasure. Voice over guru, Don Morrow, thanks so much for hanging with us here on America Tonight.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you, Katie.
Thanks, Don.